join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Hearing God's Voice by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
All right. How you doing, Pastor Marcia?
I'm well. I'm
looking
good.
Looking good. You're looking
you're so
pretty
sweet.
And everything.
Aww.
Try not to get in the flesh. You got to teach the word.
Teach us to stay focused.
All right. Let's stay focused here. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're starting a new series today. It's a new month. And so it just so happened that we are starting a new series today. And let's look at 1 Samuel, the third chapter, 4 through 11. It's kind of a spinoff of something that I was teaching on Sunday, or at least a point that I made Sunday regarding Samuel as a child hearing the voice of God. Are you on?
I'm on.
All right. 1 Samuel 3, starting verse 4. And it says that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not. Lie down again." Go back to bed. Go back to sleep, as we would say today. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again. Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call thee not." And he answered and said, "I call not. Loop, my son."
Loop. Loop.
Okay, lie down. Maybe I don't know how I would have copied that wrong. Maybe my other translation, maybe they corrected it here. Okay, which means lie down, my son. Lie down again. And verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose, went to Eli, and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." Now Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. The boy's not crazy. The boy's not just trying to interrupt my sleep. He's really hearing somebody call him. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord. Speak to me.'" Come on, that's what he told him to say. He said, "Thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then said Samuel, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Wow. Look, verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle." And he goes on and gives him more details about what he wanted to say to him. There's so much in
this.
But the subject of this series is hearing God's voice. Hearing God's voice. And I use this as the backdrop for this theme that I want to talk about of the importance of hearing God's voice and how we should hear God's voice and why we need to hear God's voice. Use this as a theme because Samuel, as we know, dedicated unto the Lord by his mother, Hannah. She went on to have six other children, by the way. She was barren at first. But she asked God, she said, God, if you give me a child, give him back to you. So she literally gave him back to the Lord by giving him to Eli to raise in the temple as a priest servant.
Yeah.
A couple things I want you to see here is that he's a child. We don't know exactly how old, but I would venture to say an adolescent, maybe somewhere between the age of 10 or 12 or perhaps at this time. And God starts calling him. And while he's sleeping, the Lord calls him three times. I don't know if I ever told you this, but, you know, to this day, I don't use an alarm.
The only
time I use alarm if I got to get up like at 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, take an early flight.
Right.
Other than that, if I'm planning on getting up 7 o'clock, I get up 7 o'clock. I don't have to use an alarm. But a lot of people don't know that started in my teenage years. Because in my teenage years, the Lord will wake me up by calling my name.
Wow.
Okay, I remember that in my house there on Brown Place, that little room that you can tell was a little room, but my room. And I would be oversleeping for school, whatever, the Lord would say, Herb, and I would jump up, and he would regularly do that. And so I learned that God could wake me up. And so to this day, I don't depend on an alarm, like I said, unless it's special circumstances. And so God will call children. God talks to children.
Yeah.
Okay. Our own son Chandler, we know of times where he talked about what God told him and God said to him, and we know that that was God.
Right.
God talks to children.
Right.
And sometimes I believe God talks to children and they'll listen to children more than us because their mind is not as cluttered. They're not as worried about stuff. They're not stressed out about things the way we are, which all that is important to hearing God's voice. And God speaks to him and God calls him three times. Now, a couple things I want to point out. He's calling him three times, and Samuel did not recognize God's voice. But verse 7 says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He knew church.
Right, right.
He knew the procedural things of what he's supposed to do to help out the priests. And the earlier verse, I believe, verse 1 of that, if you can put that up, if you can, 1 Samuel 3 and around verse 1. I think it said, now Samuel ministering to the Lord. He's ministering before the altar. He's doing church stuff. That's what I want. And I pointed out Sunday that it is possible for you to be very active in the church and not know the Lord.
Yeah, right.
All of us know we've been to the politically correct, let me use another term I never used before, religiously correct funerals.
Right.
At the religiously correct funerals, we know that they never professed to be saved, but they were good church people. And yet the preacher will get up and say something like, oh, they was a good Christian because they fried those chicken. Whenever we had a dinner, they would stay at the church all night cleaning chicken. They would mow the lawn of the church. They would get there early and fold the programs. They would make sure the fans were in place. And they try to give all this stuff that people are doing as evidence that they knew the Lord. Mm. But you can be busy at the church and not know the Lord.
Not know him.
You can be busy doing church stuff and not know the Lord.
Right.
And to know the Lord means to have a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Samuel was a child, was doing church stuff, and he's a child, and I'm not bashing Samuel. I'm just using this to understand. Just like this child knew church procedure because he was this is so good. He was what? Yeah. He was raised in the church.
Raised in the church.
Man, I can run around on that.
It's possible he got very familiar and kind of like, you know, just very relaxed with church. And might have even kind of looked at what he did as a replacement for his relationship with the Lord. You know, and sometimes we can serve in church and we think, well, because I'm in the house of God all the time, I'm faithful, I'm a key servant. He was a key servant. You know, he went places that other servants didn't go in the house of the Lord because he was serving the prophet.
He was real close.
Very close.
To the priest, to the high priest.
Very close. And sometimes we can misplace our, we can use our proximity.
Here you go.
As relationship or intimacy with the Lord. If I'm close with the prophet or I'm close with the pastor, surely that's good enough. But it wasn't good enough because Samuel did not know the Lord. And when you look at that word know, this is something I always kind of intrigued me within the scriptures, that in the Hebrew it means yada. That means to be intimate with God. Mm-hmm. It means to be one with God. So he was serving the Lord by serving the prophet, but he didn't know God himself. As a result of that, he could not discern the voice of God.
That verse there, the first verse, 1 Samuel 3:1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He was under supervision.
Yeah.
And many times in church, we need to be under supervision.
Right.
And you can be under the supervision of the pastor, the bishop, the prophet, or whatever, and not know the Lord yourself. That's what I want you to see. Such that when God was calling him, he did not recognize God's voice. Mm. He's in the temple, so when he hears speaking, the person he knows lives at the temple with him.
Oh, this is so good.
Is the prophet.
Right, right. And his proficiency, possibly, or his excellence, possibly, being on point, allow him to hide himself and not knowing God. He's serving the Lord under the leadership and he was observing him, but he might have been very proficient in his function that he looked like he can pass. Mm-hmm. You know, and so we got to realize, just because someone's on point, just because they put everything together, they know the how, they know who, and know the when, and know what to do and how to do, does not mean they walk with God.
You know what? I'm gonna go ahead on a limb. I think there's preachers and prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers who don't know the Lord.
You are out there, Bishop Bell.
They know church.
My goodness.
They know scriptures. They know the Hebrew and the Shebrew, maybe in a Bible school, maybe in a seminary, but don't know the Lord.
Wow.
Kenley Hagin, he used to say, they wouldn't recognize, they wouldn't recognize the Holy Ghost if you walked in the church with a red hat on.
Yeah, he used to say that.
Kenley Hagin used to say that. So you can know the church. I want y'all to get this. You can be all involved in the church, know the church, know the church procedures, and even be in close proximity to the pastor or someone who does know the Lord, and you don't know the Lord. So it's that God calls him three times. Mm. Calls him three times, and he doesn't recognize God's voice, and he keeps going back. And I'm sure Eli, he's getting a little annoyed here. Boy, I'm trying to sleep. Going back to sleep. Just go back. Go lay down. And then by the third time, he said, no, the boy's not just crazy. Okay. Now, that's a whole nother thing, because Eli at this point, he was no longer hearing God. Mm. The Bible says his eyes were dim. Which means he was no longer seeing God, and the implication, the eyes, nor was he hearing God. He was no longer seeing God. He wasn't hearing God. He had been in the position so long, he got used to it, just going through the motions, just making the sacrifices, just going before God and going before the people, going to the Holy of Holies as the high priest and all. But he didn't know God. I mean, at this point, he had taken his relationship with God for granted, that he was not having, oh, this is so good, a current. Right now,
my goodness,
present day,
Jesus,
word from the Lord.
My goodness,
he's still preaching last decade's revelation. Mm. He knew what God had said, but he didn't know what God was saying. Mm. And it is very possible for you to know what God said without knowing what God's saying.
Oh my goodness!
In the lesson here, that when it's part of the lesson as we go on here, but in the book of Revelation. The revelation that as of all those eschatological end time revelation things that he writes about, the beasts and the elders and the priests and the horse and the dragon, all that was revelation that God gave to the apostle John while he's on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He said, and the spirit said to me. And then he keeps writing as he says, let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not just having said. Okay. A lot of times the logos many times is what God has said. But the rhema is what he's saying.
Goodness. Yes.
A pastor friend of mine who I went to preach for, I can tell who he is. He Bishop McLaughlin, who spoke at my Episcopal banquet the day that I became a bishop.
In the Lord's church.
Mm-hmm. Every time you say that, you sound like you're trying to throw a little shade.
No, but it's in the Lord's
the day
church.
I became a bishop and was consecrated bishop in the Lord's church. But when I went to preach for him down in Jacksonville, Florida, he has a very large ministry bought, and he's renovated malls. That's his church.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal ministry. And he said to me, Pastor Trey was with me because he was my adjutant for that trip. He said, Herb, he said, I know you're getting ready to build this big building. He said, and I know that what you know that's what God said. He said, but in this season, he said, you need to go back, make sure you're not doing what he said, but you're doing what he's saying. Mm. He said, you need to make sure you're not doing what he said. You keep telling me what the Lord told you 10 years ago and 20
Jesus.
Years ago. He said, but you got to make sure you're not doing what God said. You're doing what he's saying. Mm. Now, come on now. Just let that register. Just let that register. You know what? If I did what I knew God said, we would be in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Because I know without a doubt, back in 1988.
You heard the Lord.
I heard the Lord say, we're supposed to have Right Direction Church, or Right Direction Ministry, whatever, in New Jersey. And when I came here to South Carolina, the Lord started saying,
right.
You start Right Direction. I said, oh, wait, hold on, no. You told me New Jersey.
Right.
And I never understood that. It was years later.
Yeah.
And some of this, I had no articulation. I had no revelation. I had no word that I could even explain this. I wouldn't even tell people. You knew about it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so years later, even after God blessed our ministry and prophet, I said, God, now, I know I heard you say New Jersey. God said, I know. He said, yes. He said, that was my original plan for you. He said, but I had to reorder some things and redirect things because there were people in Columbia, South Carolina who did not do what I told them to do, and I had to redirect some things.
Yeah.
God said, you weren't my first choice for Columbia.
Right.
There were other people, he said,
right.
But there were people who didn't do what I told them to do, got
right.
off, and I had to bring you here to what he literally told me is to take up other men and women's assignments.
Mm. Mm, yeah,
and when the Lord said that, I'm like, okay, God, now you got to show me that in the scripture.
Yeah.
And when I asked the Lord to show me that in the scripture, he took me to Samuel, or rather, when Samuel says to Saul, he says, yeah, did not the Lord choose you to be king? He said, when you were little in your own eyes, but now you have not obeyed the Lord. And then he says, the Lord would have establish you on the throne forever. But now. He had to have a change of plans.
Yeah.
But now he had to go looking for somebody else because you didn't do what the Lord told you to do.
Wow.
And please, and for those of you who never heard me share this story, I don't want you to think that made me get proud and arrogant, because when the Lord said to me that you are plan B, that I realized there's 24 more letters in this alphabet. So if you were plan B, there can be a plan C.
Right.
He can raise up a D.
Right.
He can raise up an E, a F,
right.
And he can go all the way down to Z. And then he can start A1 and A2
yes,
and
A. Can.
Come on now.
Yes, he can.
You know, wouldn't it be wonderful? You know, some of y'all don't know how they come up with these names for the hurricanes. They go down the alphabet. So I was like, Lord, haven't we had a Z already? But do y'all know what they do when they get to Z? They start all over again. Now we got Alfred. Yeah, they just start again.
Start again.
Okay? And then when we don't do what God tells us to do, God said, I'll raise up another.
Yes, he will. Yeah, yeah.
So it's so important for us to know what God is saying.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to say something on that?
No, this is so much, you know, that's being said right now, and not to veer off, but, you know, or get ahead, but he'll lead us in the way we should go.
We should go.
And so you have to continue to walk with God and continue to stay humble before him to hear his voice. And it's so key right there because, I mean, that's one thing that you were admonished to do, just understanding that you could be plan B. Or C. You were plan B, there could be a plan C. And so you have to govern yourself to walk with the Lord in the way he desires you to go. And the only way you can do that is to stay humble, to stay open, and to stay yielded.
You know, everybody talking about cancel culture.
Yeah.
We don't like to think of this, but God will cancel you.
Yeah.
He won't cancel that assignment.
Yeah.
But he will counsel you in the assignment
and
say, okay, I'm still going to do this, but I'm going to raise somebody else up to do it.
And it's hard for us to understand because, you know, God loves us and he forgives us and his grace covers us. And all of that is true. All of that is true. But I don't think God likes an entitlement mindset or spirit that we're not entitled for things to go down the way he told us 10 years ago. If we have the wrong heart, the wrong heart posture, and the wrong spirit. He's like, I called you to do that, but because you're in the wrong place and you're not following me the way I want you to go, I will raise up another.
Man, let me, you know, because I know we're giving some, and the reason why I give a lot of scripture because, you know, I grew up in church where people say stuff and you never knew where it was. And then there's stuff I quoted. And I found out the reason why I didn't know where it was, because it wasn't. Mm-hmm. But God, I want y'all to see that scripture where God tells Saul, forever, that I would have established you on the throne forever. But now, okay, I believe it's in First Samuel. Or second, beginning of Second Samuel, where God tells me, I would have stabbed you on the throne forever. But now, because you didn't hearken unto my voice, I will replace you. That's God canceling. That don't mean you're going to die. It simply means I can't use you to fulfill that assignment. Okay? Because the work of David wanted to build God a temple. God said, yeah, it's really nice. First of all, I didn't ask you to build me a temple. I don't dwell in hands. He says, real nice idea, and I'm going to let it be done. He said, but I'm not going to let you do it because you've been a man of war, so your son is going to fulfill that assignment, all right? So we're looking here, and our subject is hearing God's voice. Samuel as a child did not know God's voice. God was speaking, but he did not hear because he didn't know God's voice. Okay. But I want you to see here when he said, God, once he said, Samuel said, now when God speaks, stop and say, God, all right. When you hear God speak, if he call you again, say, speak, Lord. And those of you didn't know what that little song I started singing, that come from Color Purple. Okay, when, who was it? Thank you. When Sugar Avery came back and was repenting, she was out in the juke joint singing the blues. But one Sunday she heard them singing the songs of Zion. And she heard God speak to them. She came walking down the road and brought the whole club with her. And was walking down to the church and said, speak, Lord. Speak to me. Speak, Lord. Speak to me. And before you know, the whole church was filled. Okay? And so Elijah says, when next time you hear, say, Lord, speak. Or speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And what I want you to see here is that once he said, recognize it's God's voice and says, God speak. Then God started giving him details. God is not going to, here's the point. God's not going to chase you down to make you listen to him. He will try to get your attention and you have to stop and listen. Okay? God's not going to run around like a secretary because you're busy. Trying to talk to you as you come into office, as you run around. God said, there's some things I want to say to you, but you're going to have to stop and allow me to speak, and you need to recognize my voice. Here's what I got to say earlier, is that This is a season, and during this church, there's a key word we've been hearing in the church, we've been hearing in the marketplace, we've been hearing in corporate America. Everybody, as a result of this pandemic, they've been using this P word, pivot.
Yeah.
We've all had to pivot.
Yeah.
We've all had to turn, do something we didn't think we would have to do, operate in a way we didn't think we would have to operate. We've all had to pivot. Can I tell you? During this season, or to pivot, you need to know that. You need to hear God.
I need to hear God.
Making the right decision about anything requires us to hear God's direction for our lives. In uncertain times, it's a necessity that we hear God clearly. In this timely series, Bishop Herbert Bailey and Dr. Marcia Bailey break down the importance of hearing God's voice and spending time in His presence. To order this message, call 877-798-5433 or go to www.rightdirection.info. Just ask for Hearing God's Voice. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.